Well, let me ask you,
how many of you, be honest, how many of you are dealing with some kind of problem in your life right now? Currently, you're dealing with something. Yeah. Well, I'm speaking to the right crowd then. When it comes to problems, we're very familiar with problems. You know, everybody has problems or have had problems, and as long as we're alive, that's just not going to change. I was reading on the internet the other day, and someone had put a list of problems, common problems. I'm going to share some of them with you. One was need more money, bored with the season of life you're in, too many commitments. Maybe a problem is being stressed out and agitated and tense. You know, these are real problems that some of us deal with. A lot of times we think a major car accident, and that's a trouble, that's a problem. But there are times that we have internal problems, things that we're struggling with, things that we carry with us all the time. And it gets tiring. It gets really tiring. One of the problems that the individual put down was something of the nature of wanting to be more connected to God, to the Lord, but not really knowing how to be more connected. And maybe that might be a problem that some of you have been dealing with. You really have a heart for God, and you want to grow more. You just don't know how to make that connection. You know, I can look around the room, and I don't know what all of you are dealing with. I just don't have that ability to know. But I would imagine more of you are dealing with issues than raised your hands. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to talk to you about looking past the problem. Looking past the problem. Because for you who have faith in Christ, this thing is so true, what I'm about to tell you, and you have to look past the problem to see it, is that your future is always better and brighter in Jesus. And that's one thing, no matter what we're going through, that is so true. Remember, the scriptures, as we sang earlier, he makes all things work together for our good. Even what may seem like a problem. And I want to look at Jesus this morning as the example of how to deal with problems. Because it's something that he dealt with. Now, Jesus, he had problems. Now, some of you might think, well, what kind of problems did Jesus have? He was perfect. And that is true. He was perfect. But nevertheless, he was subjected to different things, and they were problematic for him. And they affected him mentally. They affected him emotionally. But he dealt with them. And one of the things that he did in dealing with them, as we're going to see, is he looked past the problem. And a problem becomes a real problem when you get stuck and all you see is that problem. That's when it really becomes a problem, because there are people, and we all know them, that they've gone through things that you and I look at and say, how in the world can you go through that? How are you keeping yourself sane? And they have major problems, but they're looking past the problem. And so for you and I, as believers and followers of Christ, and those of us who want to grow, and by the way, for those of you who want to be more connected with Christ, I'm just going to give you a very simple answer to that. How to be more connected? Well, these are the things that are involved. There's more, but at least these three things. Number one, we would call it prayer, but I would call it repentance. You know, God, forgive me. God, change me. God, help me. God, I need you. That humility and that prayer and repentance, that's so important, because the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. The second thing is reading the Word of God, getting the Word of God in you. And as newborn babes, Peter tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But then maturity really comes from taking the word and, number three, putting it to practice. putting it to practice, learning to discern what's right and what's not right, what's pleasing to the Lord and what's not pleasing to the Lord, and then doing what pleases the Lord consistently, and then you'll sense that connection. You'll grow. Now, it doesn't mean that there'll be times where you don't feel God's presence, because let me ask you, how many of you know you're saved, know you're sealed, know you're going to heaven when you die, but you don't feel God's presence with you right now? Yeah, some of you are raising your hands. The rest of you, you're lying. No, it can't be true that all of you are lying, but some of you just agree with me in your heart. Your hand went up inside. If you had a hand, it went up. But by faith, you understand that God is with you. But for those of you who are wanting to connect with the Lord, if you aren't repenting, and maybe you did, so the next step is get in the Word. Get in the Word and get the Word in you. 7 days without the Word makes 1 week, W-E-A-K, and you will never grow if you don't get the Word in you. And then you got to obey the Word consistently to the best of your ability, and you'll feel connected, generally speaking. But I want to draw your attention in regards to our message to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. We're going to only be looking at just a few verses from our main text. We're going to see how Jesus, he looked past the problems. He looked past the problems, and he was able to fix his eyes on something that he knew, even though he was dealing with problems, he knew the problems weren't the end. They were just a part of the journey, but they weren't the end. And so we read, beginning in verse 17. All right, there's more of you, there's one of me. We'll start in 16. I told Jeff 16 through 19, and I was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry, saints. But it's 17. So let's go ahead, beginning in verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. And so let's go ahead, let's pause, let's pray, and then I'll share with you a few thoughts, and then we'll conclude this morning's service. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your mercy to us in sending your Son Jesus to be our Savior, our Lord, our example. And Lord, we thank you that you laid out for us a path to follow. No matter what we're facing, no matter what tribulation or stresses or chronic problems that we have to deal with, we thank you that you set a path for us that we can receive from this morning and follow your pattern. And so, God, I pray that you would help me, anoint me, and help me to be able to do my best to share with your wonderful people the truths in your word that would help set us free. And God, we need you. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. And I thank you that you are with me, and I thank you that you're with us, and that you are going to speak to our hearts, that you're going to minister life to us, and you're going to feed us. And for that, we are thankful. And we give you all glory and honor. in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do is I just first want to look at how Jesus, he had some problems, and we're going to look at the problems that he was dealing with. And then we'll consider how he looked past the problem and what was it that helped him to be able to deal with the problems. And so we look at first the problems that Jesus was dealing with. And Jesus, he did have problems. He was perfect, no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that he lived in a perfect world. Obviously, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. And he experienced the tribulation that this world brings. Here in the text, one of the things that he was dealing with was, he tells us, betrayal. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, which was an expression for the Messiah, is going to be betrayed. Now, let's just pause there for a minute, and let's think about being betrayed and how that would make a person feel. I don't know if any of you have been betrayed before, but betrayal hurts, because usually betrayal is not from someone that you can care less about, right? It's usually someone that's really close to you, someone that you love, someone that you've invested time in. And Jesus, he invested in Judas. Now, Judas was one of the 12 apostles, and he called Judas to be a part of something so special. I mean, out of all of the Jews, he was one out of 12, a minority group. What a privilege and what an honor to be a part of this minority group. And then, in addition, what a privilege and an honor to be under the greatest man, God-man, that ever walked on the earth. The only Son of God. You can't get a better leader. You cannot get a better teacher. You cannot get a person who can best express love and genuine care and concern. All other men fail when it comes to all of these things. The greatest leaders have their failures. Jesus had no failure, no faults. You can't get any better than that. And it's shocking, because you would think under that kind of leadership, you would be so happy. But Judas, he had something in his heart. And it was greed. The Bible tells us that Judas was greedy. He was a thief, and he used to steal. And that just goes to show how much Jesus loved him, because there's no doubt Jesus knew, and it was a part of the plan. Judas was the son of perdition. But still, Judas had choices, and he could have repented, but he never repented. Not godly sorrow. And you can read, and those of us who are familiar, we understand that he had worldly sorrow. He didn't have godly sorrow, so he never truly repented. But he had an issue in his heart, and when Jesus didn't meet his expectations, when Jesus didn't come through the way he wanted him to come through, then he started to develop a heart of betrayal. And there's no doubt Satan was behind all of this, but Judas still made choices. And so it's interesting, because when it comes to Judas, even at the betrayal itself, which you could read later on in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that even though Jesus knew what Judas was going to do to him, he said, "Friend, why have you come?" Jesus considered Judas as a friend. He really loved him. It tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 13, near the end, right before the Last Supper, that Jesus, he loved his disciples. It said he loved his disciples right to the very end. And then right after, it tells us this, Jesus washes Judas's feet. I mean, think about that. And here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be betrayed. He already knew. And Jesus, humble and lowly, what did that feel like? When he came to Judas, and he looked at his eyes, and he looked at his face, and there's no doubt that Jesus loved him with God's love, with perfect love, knowing that he was going to betray him, and he washed his feet. You know, sometimes we might not think of the pain and the hurt, but that hurts. And even though that was a problem, that was something, let me tell you, you know, problems, what do? They, when you fixate on a problem, that's all you dwell on, what does it do? It disables you. It disables you. That's when you know a problem has become a real problem. Because you're disabled, it affects your relationship with God, it affects your just your entire life. But Jesus, he looked past the problem. And you know, we already read it, because he said, and the third day I will rise again. And the third day I will rise again. All of these things, whether it's betrayal, whether it was condemnation, because he said that he'd be betrayed to the religious leaders, and they would condemn him to death, basically saying, you know, you're not worth living. And some of us might think we have problems, huh? He was victorious over all those things because he was able to look past the problem into the future and knew what was going to happen. It didn't make it easy, but it enabled him to endure it and to continue to persevere in spite of it. And some of you, that's what you need to be reminded of. You need to be reminded that God has a glorious future for you, and that no matter what you might be going through right now, it is not the end. Don't let it disable you. The best is yet to come. Yes, still for you. Yes, there is hope, because your God is for you and not against you, and he loves you. Now, going back to Judas, sometimes you and I might feel and read about Jesus's life and not really feel what he must have went through. But let's turn to Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. This is a messianic psalm. And it gives us a little bit of an insight into what Jesus felt and what he was going through with that experience with Judas. Now look at what it says here in verse 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. It's like I said, when it's somebody that you don't like, you know, you expect them to do you wrong, and you know, you don't like it, but he says, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. And then listen to what he says. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. When the multitudes of people were just thronging Jesus, Jesus had his disciples with them, and they had sweet counsel. They had sweet fellowship. They talked, and he invested in Judas. And to be betrayed by him, that hurt. That hurt, but it didn't disable Jesus. You know, there are so many different things that we can look at. Maybe some of you have been betrayed and you've been disabled. Maybe you've been betrayed by a spouse, a close friend, or fill in the blank. And that's really hindered you. You can't seem to get over it. But I just want to encourage you, maybe the Holy Spirit will help me to help you to just give you that little nudge that you need to be reminded, stop focusing, it's time to move forward. Because God has a better future for you. And as long as you dwell on this, you're not going to experience what God has for you. And so it's time. And maybe for some of you, it might be too soon, but the principle is still the same. The sooner you focus on the goodness of God and stop focusing on the problem, the better off you'll be. And you'll be able to start to embrace it and be able to start to filter through all the things, and then just start thinking of a plan and helping by praying, receiving the help of the Holy Spirit to think about how to move forward from this point. And so Jesus, he had different things that he was dealing with. As I mentioned, the condemnation. You know, they basically said, you're not fit to live. And I couldn't even imagine what that feels like, to be that hated by people that they don't even think that you're worthy of living. Or he said that they would be turning him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, and the Romans would mock him. Remember reading the crucifixion and all the things that were leading up to the crucifixion, how they made fun of him? They spit in his face. Now, Jesus had mentioned this as far as going to Jerusalem several times. This is not the first time he mentioned it. He mentioned it several times. So it was on his mind. He knew what he was going to be dealing with. But he looked beyond the problem. And he was able to cope with the problem. And what he looked at was the resurrection. He says, none of these things are going to get me down. Ultimately, he knew. He said, but on the third day, I will rise again. And you know what's amazing is that his disciples, they didn't catch it. And if they did catch it, they cared more about themselves than they did about what Jesus was facing. So think about it. He must have felt so alone and so isolated and have no one that can understand what he was going through. Because later on, as we're going to see in the future studies, that Jesus, his disciples were trying to figure out how they can get one of them on his right hand and the other on his left hand in his kingdom. He's talking about, I'm going to be beat, crucified, killed, and you guys are thinking about how you're going to establish a position in the kingdom. And they just weren't thinking right. But nevertheless, Jesus, you know, he had his eyes on the resurrection. And I just wanted to share, in regards to the resurrection, think about what he was thinking. Even though it was difficult, you know what he was thinking? This is a part of your will, God. You're allowing these things to happen. This is a part of your plan. And even though it's difficult, I'm still moving forward, because he says, not my will, but your will be done. And if you allow this to happen in my life, then it's for your glory and for the benefit of others. Imagine if Jesus didn't go to the cross. Imagine if he let his problems disable him, which we know that won't happen, but that can happen to you and I. And think of all the fruit that we could be missing out on because we don't continue walking in the path that God has for us, even though it might be very difficult and very challenging. And so Jesus, he was looking at the glory. He was looking at the victory. He didn't dwell on the problem. He didn't ignore that they were there. But he looked beyond the problem to the glory, to the future. And you know something? God has promised all of us a glorious future. The Bible tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And so you might be dealing with some problems right now. And you may be thinking, just focused on it. You have to look past it. And as a child of God, you have to remember that no matter what you're going through, in the end, you're going to have victory. You know, the Bible tells us that we who believe, who are born of God, we who are born of God, we overcome the world. And what is it that overcomes the world? Our faith in him. Now, I'm going to start to wrap this up, but think about this. Jesus, and this is how you deal with the problem. You know how you deal with your problems? You face them. You embrace them. If it's God's will that you have to deal with this, you embrace them and then you face them by faith. You say, God, you're allowing this to happen in my life. I am not going to get disabled by this and stay here any longer. I'm going to keep moving forward because I believe that you are with me. And I know that you've made promises to me and that this is only temporary. And in the end, no matter what, because I'm in you, I have victory. You have given me victory over these things. And in the end, because you've won, I've won because I'm in you. Now think about what Jesus did. Jesus, he focused on the resurrection. This is not the end. There is life. And because of his death and resurrection, and because of our faith in him, he has given us life, and all of us have become recipients of eternal life and a glorious eternity. And that's really what we should focus on. Not the things of this world, not the problems, but on our Savior and the hope that we have in him. Remember what Jesus said, as I said earlier. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You know, I wanted to conclude the message just by sharing. Jesus, he said to his disciples, you know, we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. But there was only one thing. There was only one person who was going to go through all that he went through. There was 13 of them going through to Jerusalem. But only he was going to be going to the cross, be crucified, and then he would rise from the grave. And only he, because no one else can pay for the sins of the world. We understand this. Because all the other men were sinners, and sin cannot pay for sin. But Jesus, he was sinless. And John tells us that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so he went and he hung on the cross for all of us, for them, for all of us. And, you know, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem. Now, there, that was the Jerusalem here, and but there is a new Jerusalem. And that's a promise that God has for us. And because Jesus rose from the grave, that substantiates every one of his claims. And all of his promises, they are true. They are yes, and they are amen. And saints, all of us, one day, will be in that holy Jerusalem. And I want to end by drawing your attention to Revelation chapter, I believe it's 21. And whatever problem you might be dealing with, you have to look past it and look to this glorious future we have. Because as I said earlier, for us as believers, the future is always better and brighter. And look at what awaits us. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Amen. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And then it tells us, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What a glorious hope we have. And in light of what we have awaiting for us, we can look past whatever thing we're facing. The only question is do you believe? Do you believe it? And if you believe in Christ and you trust him, he's going to help you through it. That's all it takes. It's just looking to Jesus and trusting him, looking at his example and following it. And the victory is yours. And as believers, you know what we do? We walk from victory, the victory that Jesus gave us. And Father, we thank you so much for the victory that we have in you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that you continue to bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. And Lord, we thank you for your example. We thank you, Lord, that you were able to face and embrace the will of God, even though it was challenging. You didn't run from it. You faced the problems. And we want to face whatever trials and challenges we have. We don't want to be disabled. And we believe, God, that you're with us and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us and that you're helping us. And for that, we are so grateful. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we have a few announcements to share with you this morning. We have a youth event this Friday, February 5th. The Ignite Youth Group